WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Well, I am going to take this show on my own, and it's Advent. If you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know I love Advent and Christmas music and poetry and just the great joyous expectation that we all feel and that we feel more and more acutely as Christmas Day approaches. So I thought I'd share with you some of the greatest music ever recorded about Advent, about our faith, and some of the best poetry ever written. The first piece, I believe, is one of the greatest recordings ever made of any familiar piece of Christmas music. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, Robert Shaw, the Atlanta Symphony and Chorus. You're going to love it. if that doesn't get you in the mood to buy presents, I don't know what will. That's O Come, Emmanuel, conducted by the great Robert Shaw. No one was better in this kind of repertory than the late Robert Shaw. Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. Arrangement by Alice Parker. I love her use of bells and the antiphonal layering of the men's and women's voices. We're going to hear some more Robert Shaw after this poem by John Donne. Most of you have heard of John Donne. He was one of the greatest of the so-called metaphysical poets of the late 16th and early 17th century. He was an Anglican clergyman. And before his Anglican clergyman, he was kind of a naughty boy, but he got his act together. And he wrote this marvelous Christmas poem entitled Nativity. Let me read it to you. Immensity cloistered in thy dear womb now leaves his well-beloved imprisonment. There he hath made himself to his intent weak enough, now into the world to come. But oh, for thee, for him, hath the inn no room? Yet lay him in this stall, and from the Orient stars and wise men will travel to prevent the effect of Herod's jealous general doom. Seest thou, my soul, with thy faith's eyes, how he which fills all space, yet none holds him, doth lie? Was not his pity towards thee wondrous high, that would have need to be pitied by thee? Kiss him, and with him into Egypt go, with his kind mother, who partakes thy woe. And on that note, and the greatest Advent poetry, I believe, as you'll hear as we go along, always mixes the joy of the upcoming birth with what lies ahead for he who is born, the suffering, the pain, the crucifixion. And in this vein, let's listen to another recording conducted again by Robert Shaw, this time with his chamber chorus, an American folk hymn first published by the Methodists. Congratulations to the Methodists in 1811. What wondrous love is this?
Thank you.
I've got chill bumps. Robert Shaw and his Atlanta Chamber Choir singing another Alice Parker arrangement, a familiar hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This? And I particularly like that moment when they sing, And While From Death I'm Free, I'll Sing On, I'll Sing On. That just stirs me. So we're going to go to another Anglican cleric for a poem now, this time, though, a Welshman, a poet named Ronald Stuart Thomas. He went by R.S. Thomas as a poet, and he lived until the latter part of the 1970s. He published a lot of good poems. Not many people know him. He wrote a poem entitled The Coming. This is The Coming by Anglican priest R.S. Thomas from Wales. And God held in his hand a small globe. Look, he said. The sun looked. Far off, as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Clustered buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent. A river uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April, to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. As a son said to the father, as Christ said to his father, let me go there, he said. A beautiful poem, R.S. Thomas, from Wales. And that puts me in the mood to share with you, I guess this is my favorite Christmas carol. Maybe it's just the favorite Christmas carol in my 60s. But I listen to it over and over. The English translation of it is, Whence is this goodly fragrance flowing? It's a 17th century French carol that wasn't put into English until Frank Houghton did it in the early 20th century. The first stanza in English is, Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sakes, became as poor, thrones for a major dissurrender, sapphire-paved courts for stable floor. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sakes, becomes poor. And this recording is marvelous. It's on the BIS label, and it's which is a Swedish label, and the name of the CD is Christmas Music for Sweden, from Sweden, one of my top five Christmas CDs. The soprano is Christina Hogman, and the singers are the Orpheus Singers, directed by Robert Sund. So let's listen to Whence Is This Goodly Fragrance Flowing. If you don't know it from the title, you'll know it right away from the tune.
Thank you.
That was the Swedish soprano Christina Hagman and the Orpheus Singers, conducted by Robert Soon on BIS. The CD is entitled Christmas Music for Sweden, and I'd get it if I were you. I listen to it over and over again as years go by, and I love when they go into that pianissimo at the last stanza. That's when you figure out how good a singer it is. Not when they sing loudly, but when they sing softly. And this was neither in English or French, but you really didn't need to know Swedish to appreciate how beautiful it was. Well, I'm not going to read you a Swedish poem to follow that up. I will stick with English. It's the only language I know, very well anyway. And this is by a poet you know, another priest, this time a Jesuit priest, Father Gerard Manley Hopkins, very well known, and rightly so, one of our greatest poets in the English language. Died young, but that's another story. He wasn't treated well by his order. That's another story, too. He's a convert to Catholicism and became one of the leading poets of the Victorian age, dying in 1889. I'm going to read you a short poem entitled Moonless Darkness Stands Between. Moonless darkness stands between. The past no more be seen. But the Bethlehem star may lead me to the sight of him who freed me from the self that I have been. Make me pure, Lord. Thou art holy. Make me meek, Lord. Thou wert lowly. Now beginning and alway, now begin on Christmas Day. Gerard Manley Hopkins. He knew how to say a lot with a few words, and he knew how to compress those words into an amazing emotionality and meaning. But we're going to change moods now because a lot of you listeners don't know my pop side. I do have a pop side, and we call it a kitsch side, too. I like to cry at movies as much as anybody else, and I love to be moved by great pop music. Now, this piece was written for a 60s singer named Vic Dana. It was his greatest hit. It's entitled Little Altar Boy. And it was written by a man named Hallett P. Smith, who is still alive. The most famous version after Vic Dana was by Karen Carpenter, the Carpenters. But I'm going to play you one I like, at least at this moment in time, a little better than Karen Carpenter's. And that's the one by Glenn Campbell, Little Altar Boy.
Altar boy, I wonder, could you pray for me? Little altar boy, for I have gone astray. What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, oh, let me hear you pray. Little altar boy, I wonder, could you ask our Lord? Him, altar boy, to take my sins away. What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, please let me hear. Your voice and send the prayer above. lift your voice and help a sinner be strong. Little altar boy, I wonder, could you pray for me? Could you tell our Lord I'm gonna change my way today? What must I do to be holy like you? Little altar boy, oh, let me hear you pray.
That was the late, great Glenn Campbell, who sung Little Altar Boy, written in 1961 by Howlett P. Smith. And the lyrics, and I don't mean to push this comparison, are very analogous to what Gerard Manley Hopkins had to say in a poem I read previously, Moonless Darkness Stands Between. Now, in the second half, I'm going to play one more pop song. I'll let you guess at what that's going to be. And I'm going to play some, a little more, how shall I say it, lighthearted classical selections. And I'm going to read one poem that you would have never thought would ever pass my lips on Church and Culture. We're going to take a short break and be back right after this message.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah wrote these words to the Jewish people who had been forced into exile. They were no longer in their own country, no longer in the Promised Land. We too may feel like those exiles, like strangers in a strange land. So what advice did Jeremiah offer? It was simple. Plant gardens, build houses, get married, and have kids. In other words, thrive. He also told them to pray for the country in which they lived, for its welfare would be their own. When we feel like exiles, we should do the same. Thrive by living in joy, pray for the welfare of our country, and trust in God's plan for our future and hope. To learn more about biblical advice for our daily lives, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or cbsmich.org.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
For this Advent season, as we anticipate the birth of Jesus, Father Ricardo has prepared an exercise in critical thinking regarding our faith in Jesus. He explains how it's easier to believe than not believe just based on the preponderance of evidence surrounding our belief in Christ. Father Ricardo's title is Reasons to Believe. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Christ is the answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Welcome back to our Advent show on Church and Culture. And if you listen to the first part, I'm sharing with you some of my most favorite recordings of the very best Advent music and some of the very best Christmas poetry. Now, this particular poem is by a man who's been on this show a number of times, Dana Gioia, who is a mere 66 years old and lives in California, former chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities, but one of our country's best poets. And I wrote to him this morning, I said, send me a poem, one of your best poems on Advent. And he did. He sent me this poem entitled For the Birth of Christ, which I'm going to read to you. Now, Dana reads his poetry like or any poetry like no one else. So, but I'll do my best. It's Dana Gioia with The Birth of Christ. Now is the season of our long regret, when all the borrowed levities conspire to hide the hopeless balance of our debt. The winter air grows sharp with our desire, and all the ancient hungers reappear. We come to watch for you, a child of fire. Again the shining city seems so near. Send down the flaming stairs into the night before our dreams had vanished with the year. If lesser visions charmed a summer night, we knew they lacked the necessary pain. You bring no season of rehearsed delight, and requiems combine with our refrain, for with your birth a part of us will die. Alone we cry the coming of your reign. Will you, O fiery child, make no reply? Dana Gioia, for The Birth of Christ. And once again, the poet brings to this season of waiting, of coming, of the first of three comings of our Lord, according to St. Bernard of Clairvaux, the birth, the daily presence in our hearts, and his second coming. But this is the first of his comings, and he mixes in the slight fear that his coming brings, knowing that this is a once-in-a-cosmic-lifetime opportunity for our redemption. But I don't mean to be too heavy with you today. I'm going to pick up the pace here. This is a familiar carol sung with absolute delight by the Dale Warland Singers. This was a piece originally written in the Ukraine, in Kiev, by the composer Mykola Leontovich, with lyrics by Peter J. Wilowski. Now, Wilowski ended up arranging music for the NBC Orchestra, and so he arranged it with English lyrics. And we're now going to hear Carol of the Bells, originally composed in 1914, but reworked into English in 1936. But this time it's not the NBC Orchestra under Toscanini, it is the amazing Dale Warland Singers, Carol of the Bells. A wonderful piece, so superbly sung, Carol of the Bells, sung by the Dale Warland Singers. By the way, if you want some Christmas music, go look for their CDs. They're just uniformly wonderful. Now, here is the poem that you would have thought I, D.L. Hudson, would have never read on Church and Culture because, well, first of all, it's by a famous beat poet, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who is, by the way, still alive. He's 97, living in Bronxville. Maybe you'll hear the show. Well, I'm going to read his poem called Christ Climbed Down. And if you've never heard this, it comes from an odd source, but it has an important message for all of us. Let me read it to you. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where there were no rootless Christmas trees, hung with candy canes and breakable stars. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where there were no gilded Christmas trees and no tinsel Christmas trees and no tin foil Christmas trees and no pink plastic Christmas trees and no gold Christmas trees and no black Christmas trees and no powder blue Christmas trees hung with electric lights and encircled by 10 electric trains and clever cornball relatives. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where no intrepid Bible salesman covered the territory in two-toned Cadillacs, where no Sears Roebuck creches complete with plastic babe in manger arrived by parcel post, the babe by special delivery, and where no televised wise men praised the Lord Calvert whiskey. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where no fat, handshaking stranger in a red flannel suit and a fake white beard went around passing himself off as some sort of North Pole saint crossing the desert to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in a Volkswagen sled drawn by rollicking Adirondack reindeer with German names and bearing sacks of humble gifts from Saks Fifth Avenue for everybody's imagined Christ child. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and ran away to where no Bing Crosby carolers groaned of a tight Christmas and where no radio angels, Radio City angels, ice skated wingless through a winter wonderland into a jingle bell heaven daily at 8:30 with midnight mass matinees. Christ climbed down from his bare tree this year and softly stole away into some anonymous Mary's womb again, where in the darkest night of everybody's anonymous soul, he waits again, an unimaginable and impossibly immaculate reconception, the very craziest of second comings. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, still what's up, as the age of 97, living in Bronxville, New York, delivering a good message for all of us who celebrate the coming of Christ. I promised one more pop song, and you're going to know this song, but if you've never heard it by Tony Bennett, you've really never heard it. Let's listen to Rodgers and Hammerstein's My Favorite Things.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzels with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Music! Thank you.
girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, that's Tony Bennett, and whatever arranger put that marimba in there, it's just right. Just right. Speaking of an unusual arrangement, if I asked you which poet wrote in all small case letters, you would know E.E. Cummings. Wonderful poet, wonderful novelist of his experience in the First World War called The Enormous Room. Somebody worth going back and reacquainting yourself with. He wrote a Christmas poem. I'm going to read it to you. E.E. Cummings. Little tree, little silent Christmas tree, you are so little, you are more like a flower. Who found you in the green forest, and were you very sorry to come away? See, I will comfort you because you smell so sweetly. I will kiss your cool bark and hug you safe and tight, just as your mother would. Only don't be afraid. Look. The spangles that sleep all the year in a dark box, dreaming of being taken out and allowed to shine. The balls of chains, red and gold, the fluffy threads. Put up your little arms, and I'll give them all to you to hold. Every finger shall have its ring, and there won't be a single place dark or unhappy. Then when you've quite dressed, you'll stand in the window for everybody to see. And how their stare. Oh, but you'll be very proud. And my little sister and I will take hands, and looking up at our beautiful tree, we'll dance and sing. Noel. Noel. E.E. Cummings. You didn't think he had it in him, but he does. A wonderful Christmas poem. Get title is Little Tree. Here's one of my favorite contemporarily written Christmas carols by John Rutter. What sweeter music, sung by a group called Polyphony that records for Hyperion. The Polyphony CD of John Rutter's Christmas music is one of my top five. So take a listen to how they sing What Sweeter Music. The British composer John Rutter, still alive and with us and actively composing the sweeter music. And I should have mentioned the words are by another metaphysical poet of the 17th century, Robert Herrick. Now I'd like to read you a story, and we'll go from that story to my last selection, which I think will be familiar to you. Here's the story I want to tell you. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. O dona nobis pacem, Johann Sebastian Bach. from the great Mass in B minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, the great Donum Nobis Pacem, sung by, guess who, Robert Shaw, Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. And remember that in what I read from the Gospel of St. Luke, one of the things the angels said to the shepherds was that the one who is coming will bring peace. Donum Nobis Pacem, bring us peace. Thank you for being with me today on this Advent show. And to all of you who are listening, I'll be back on this day at this time next week.
If you have any comments or questions about church and culture, you can contact Deal Hudson at dhudson@avemariaradio.net.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the liturgical life of the Church and events and people of the Bible transcend time and remain always relevant. This is especially the case during the two Sundays before Christmas.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Is discipline kind? Poor discipline. It gets a bad name these days, doesn't it? Parents feel mean when we discipline. We feel guilty. We feel incompetent. The experts are always telling you, well, you know, discipline is kind of a last resort. Set up a win-win situation first. Use active listening. Try an iMessage. Bargain and negotiate using 5 blue smiley faces instead of 3 banana stickers. Poor discipline. And its many counterparts. Limits, consequences, authority, responsibility, teaching. Getting a bad rap these days. Today is the beginning of a 5-part series where we will talk about why discipline is ultimately kind. Not disciplining is ultimately cruel. Why discipline? If you define discipline as teaching, what we will be doing is showing a child how to live in this world. People who don't know how to live in this world lose to the world. The world is a rough place. Tune in tomorrow. We will talk about the main reason why discipline is ultimately kind, and then we'll talk about more reasons. There's a lot of them. I'm Dr. Rick.
Weekdays at 10 a.m., there's More to Life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Each weekday on More to Life, we'll explore the life you were meant to live through the theology of the body.
Tune in for great advice, guests, and the information you need to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
This Sunday is for rejoicing. We get a prophecy from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the cloak of justice from God. For God will show the earth your splendor. You'll be named the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Rise up, Jerusalem. See your children gathered from the east and the west as the word of the Holy One of Israel. And then we'll have John the Baptist coming on the scene. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, that's how they did dates then, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. That's John the Baptist, whose John was to prepare Israel to meet Jesus the Messiah. Scripture calls him the precursor or forerunner, but moderns would call him a warmer-upper. He went through the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be made low. Winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough way